how to live a blessed life. And to be real honest with you, again, those verses starting in verse 3 and going all the way through verse 12 teaches us how to live a blessed life and gives you several facets of your life personally. And you got to understand, when the Lord is doing the teaching, you really ought to take heed, because what the Lord is saying to his disciples, again, this is to save people he was speaking to. These are the people that were following him, and he was telling them how to have a blessed life, and what is good for them is certainly still good for us. And we in America have basically abandoned what the Lord has taught us about how to live well and how to live right. If you look through these verses, you're going to find nowhere in those verses where it talks about money. You're going to find nowhere in those verses where it talks about having things and living a blessed life. So you got to understand, and to kind of refresh your memory what this is talking about, it helps to learn not what it's not talking about. It's not talking about having a big home. It's not talking about having nice furniture. It's not talking about having a lot of money, having although there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having nice things or a big home. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what's going to make us live a blessed life. That's not what's going to give us the satisfaction that we can only have through living the way that Jesus Christ taught his disciples and still today teaches us how to live. We put all of our stock. You're not even, what's sad is, and preachers will agree to this, you're not even a big name preacher until you've got a big congregation. That's sad. Some of your greatest preachers all across America are in small churches that we count small. The Lord doesn't see any of the churches as small. That we in America have big eyes. We need to see big. We need to see frilly. We need to see greatness as we can put our eyes to it. The Lord was teaching us in these verses. And I really think we ought to give them more earnest heed to what the Lord is teaching us here. To live a meek life. To live a life that we are satisfied with what the Lord has given us. If you can be satisfied with what the Lord has given you, you'll live a blessed life. If you can live your life satisfied with the thought of being a servant for Him, you can live a blessed life. There's no greater service than serving the King. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. We throw these Beatitudes around. And we say, well, you are blessed. The Lord blesses you if you do this. That's not what they're teaching. They're teaching, if you want to live a blessed life, this is how you can accomplish having a blessed life. It's more than happy. It's much more than happy. It's being blessed. Amen? So that's what I gave you as kind of a synopsis of what those are, what those verses are. Hopefully that you'll use those later on. Let's move on. We'll start out with a word of prayer. We're going to start in verse 13 in Matthew chapter 5. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Brother Coolidge, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Amen. Thank you. If you look at the next two verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, the Lord tells us in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets, which were before you." The Lord tells us that He has a reward waiting for us if we live for Him, and certainly today you're going to see more and more of this. Persecution over living for Jesus Christ. You talk about Christ today, you're offending hundreds of people. I'm going to be honest with you, go ahead and offend them, because we need to keep talking about Christ. What has happened in this country as we've ignored, again, the way that the Lord taught us how to live. We've ignored the way that the Scripture teaches us how to live. And because we've ignored those things, we have become kind of an offense to people, a thorn in the side of the people, so to speak. Well, be thorny, because we're supposed to keep talking about Christ. We're supposed to be Christians. That's what we're supposed to do. It's our duty to live as Christians. If you're a saved person, you're going to face Almighty God someday. You're going to be upset and ashamed if you don't live for Him now. You're going to be upset and ashamed the day that you see your Savior in His refining, fire-filled eyes when He stares at you and says, "What did you do for me?" Him already knowing the answer to that question. That's what frightens me. The Lord already knows the answer to that question. When we get there, we're not going to, don't expect to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I've heard many people wield that term around where it's no big deal. Well, when I get there, because I live for Him for 16 minutes a day, the Lord's certainly going to tell me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Boy, I hope He says that to me, but I'm going to be honest with you. I know my life, I know my frame, and I've got to be honest. I'm not certain He's going to tell me, "Well done." And if you'd be honest with yourself, we don't deserve even to be in that place for Him to be thanking us for anything. Because we owe everything to Him. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. If you look at these next verses, it tells us what we are. Now, Christian, the next two verses start out with the words, "Ye are." The next two verses start out with the words, "Ye are," not the words, "Ye might be." It doesn't start out with the words, "Ye may be if you feel like it." It does not start out with the words, "I hope you are." It starts out with the words, "Ye are." Not when you choose to be, all the time. Now it says this, "Ye are," if you look at these verses, in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." In verse 14 it says, "Ye are the light of the world." It does not say that you won't be the light of the world. It does not say that you are not sometimes the salt of the earth. It says ye are. That means there's never a time when you're not. Boy, that lends a little bit of a different thought about these verses than when I used to look at these. You know, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm the light of the world, but I'm not always light. I might be salt, but I'm not always salt. I mean, there's times when I do things that I ought not do or think things that I ought not think. There's times, and if you'd be honest with you, with me, you'd say the same thing. There's times when maybe you don't live up to the standard, if you'd be honest. It does not afford you occasion in these verses, though, when the Lord is teaching us of those times. All the Bible says is, ye are. What are we? Think about that for a minute. The Lord has taught us in these first few verses how to live a blessed life. He's taught us how to be as a Christian. How to live in this world as a Christian. And then it tells us what we are. If you look at these verses, what an awesome responsibility that these verses are. What an awesome responsibility that the Lord has put on you. You are His salt. Think about this for a minute. You are the salt of the earth. You are never not salt. If you are saved in here today, you are never not salt. I know that's terrible grammar, but you'll bear with me this morning. You're never not salt. You're never not light. Now, how bright you choose to be is probably up to you. How salty you choose to be is up to you. But you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you are salt and you are light. Let's look at what these verses say to us. Because I've got to be honest with you, I see more Xmas than I've seen in my entire life in this day and age. They are, and Christians, you've got to grab a hold of what I'm talking. If you think about this, they've almost accomplished what they've set out to do. They've almost removed Christ. They are close. They are close to making this a holiday, not a holy day. They are close to completely removing your Savior, the one that is going to take you to heaven because of his death and his rising again. The one that is paid for you is almost been completely removed from Christmas. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. Christians, you have a job. Christians, we have been given this responsibility of who we are. It does not say everybody's the salt of the earth, because it says that the disciples came unto him in the first verse. He's speaking to saved people. And the saved people are the ones that are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are afforded this responsibility, and what an awesome responsibility it is. What a great thing to be counted as the salt of the earth from Jesus Christ. He's the one speaking. We have been given this opportunity to be something for the earth. What is it? Oh, I am not that important to the earth. You look at yourself, what am I here for? Christians, this is it. This is why you're here. We are here because we are the salt of the earth. Yeah. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? I don't like salt substitute.
Amen.
I don't like removing salt from food. Now, you might say, well, brother, you're going to have heart problems.
Right.
I'll be happy.
Amen.
Because I don't know what a French fry is supposed to taste like without salt.
Amen.
Now, could you imagine, and some of you can't imagine because you do it, taking salt out of all your food.
No,
that is so, I can't even imagine that. I would call you foolish, but I'm afraid you'd meet me in the parking lot. I understand that salt is responsible for retaining water. But I'd rather be plump and satisfied.
Amen.
Than thin and tasteless.
Yeah.
I don't like sugar substitute. I'm telling you right now, I don't like much that's a substitute. Don't give me margarine. I want butter.
Amen. Yep.
Good Lord, have mercy. Don't give me skim milk.
Yes, sir.
That's like white water. I don't want diluted.
Right.
I don't want bacon that's been wiped up with a napkin.
Right.
I want greasy bacon.
Yeah.
I don't want pizza that you take and put the fake cheese on top because you don't want it to be so oily. Give me the greasy stuff. I don't like the stuff that's dry. If you cook a hamburger too long, you take all the pink out. That's just nasty. I want good old-fashioned medium rare. I want good old-fashioned greasy bacon. I want good old-fashioned. I like the good old stuff. It's amazing. We've gotten so trained in this country today to think that everything's bad for you.
Yeah.
You're going to die of worry.
Yeah. Right.
Stress is killing more people than pork products.
Right.
Good Lord, have mercy. Look at what the Bible says about salt. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What in the world are you going to put salt on if the salt doesn't taste like salt? Would you put it on? Because if I'm eating something that's bland, I'm reaching for the salt. This world, my friend, has become bland.
Yeah.
This world is full of unsatisfied people. This world has become a place that you literally have to be neutral on everything. There's nothing more neutral than whipped potatoes with no salt. It's just, you might as well eat nothing. The Bible talks about egg whites having no flavor. They don't have flavor unless you salt them. If you salt them, they taste good.
Amen.
See, what's amazing to me is this. We've become Christians forgetting what we're here for. We become Christians that are forgetting, hey, listen, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him.
Amen.
More than conquerors. We've already won the battle. Don't go in defeated, Christian. You've already won. We talk all the time about how bad salt is for you. Boy, I tell you, what a connotation that is. And people will teach you that, boy, being a Christian is bad for you. I saw on the TV this morning, it made me chuckle. It was good that it made me chuckle because otherwise it'd make me have tears. A school is being prosecuted because they've told a girl that is with child in high school that she ought not play volleyball anymore while she's having a baby. And the girl's upset. I would have to bet when I was in school, I'm only 39 years old, when I was in school, if a girl was with child, she was embarrassed. Not only is she not embarrassed, she's acting triumphant. Triumphant over fornication that ended up with a child, and now she's crying that she can't play volleyball anymore. And the people are saying, shame on the school. The salt has lost its savor. Brother Dave, I've heard this all before. I know that's what you're saying. And Brother Dave, I'm tired of hearing about America's this and America's that, and I'm only one voice. And you know what? To be real honest with you, I don't think one voice can do it. I want to submit something to you. Every great revival, every great work, every great movement was started with one voice. Just one voice. It can't be my voice. Why not? It can't be your voice because you've realized that salt's not good for you anymore. You can't be one voice because you realize that it's better to not be salty and be neutral so that way you don't get anybody coming against you. It's easier in the workplace not to be Christian than to be Christian, because if I'm Christian, I suffer ridicule. If I'm Christian, I suffer this and suffer that. Understand this. Jesus walks with you every step of the way. He's always with you no matter where you go. How dare you for the man that's paid it all? How dare we turn our backs on him? That goes for preachers too. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when the pulpit started to cool, America became cold. I thank God I'm in a church. I'm not afraid to preach against homosexuality. I don't care where I'm standing in America, I'll preach against homosexuality. I'm glad I'm in a church that stands up for the old book. There's no other book besides the King James Bible. In our language, this is God's pure and holy word. I'm not ashamed to stand up for the old paths. I'm not ashamed to turn to the Bible and say, that's where I'm going to stand for. That's the right way. I'm not afraid of that. Yeah. I want to be salty. Because if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. To me, that's prophetic and pathetic. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Christ is being trampled under the foot of men every day. Every single day when we refuse. Listen, don't go up to people and say happy holidays. Are you kidding me? Don't go up to people and say, well, I hope you have a nice winter solstice day off. It's become the winter break, not Christmas break at schools. I'm going to be honest with you. The reason for this whole season is not the gift giving. The reason of this whole season is not the going out on Black Friday. You guys are nuts. Good Lord, I don't like shopping, let alone 4 o'clock in the morning, surrounded by people that can't wait to beat you up over a Game Boy. I am amazed people won't go camping, but they'll pitch a tent at Best Buy. We're nuts. We've got more people going to Best Buy than we've got reading Luke chapter 2. It used to be people would open up their Bible on Christmas morning and read about "For unto us." Today, we're going through ads. And there's nothing wrong with buying stuff. Please don't misread me. There's nothing wrong with buying presents. But good Lord, we've missed the greatest gift of all. Amen. We've missed it. And thus begins the Christmas preaching. The salt has lost its savor because we've forgotten our Savior. We have lost the tastiness of Christianity. If people would be honest, I want to help you here. If people, even the lost folks, if they would be honest, truly, truly honest, Christianity is what made our country. If people would be truly honest, if everyone would live like a Christian, the doors could become unlocked. If everyone would live like a Christian, you wouldn't have to have alarm systems on cars. If everyone would live like a Christian, if everyone would turn to the Scripture and turn to the Savior and realize that Christians just aren't going to take this anymore. Well, Brother Dave, I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. Live like salt, because that's what you are. How salty you are is up to you, but you are salt. Christian, you can't get away from it. If you're a saved person, you're going to have to stand before Almighty God someday, and you're not going to be a Jesse Duplantis going around and hugging his neck. I don't know if you know Jesse Duplantis, but I laughed hysterically when he said, well, when he sees Jesus, he's going to give him a hug. Oh, no, you're not. When you see Jesus, you're going to be on your knees thanking God. We are salt. But it's not good for anything if we've lost our savor, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. This is what you are. We are the light of the world. Didn't say of the earth. We are the light of the world. The world sees you, Christian. You are a light. No, regardless of what you think you are the light of the world. You are. How bright you are is up to you, but you are the light of the world. Now, if you live like the devil outside of church, that's the kind of light you're casting. Think about that for a moment. You've got a huge responsibility. You can't tuck tail from that responsibility. You can't come in here on Sunday and say, well, glory to God, I'm going to worship Christ today, and then go out and drink yourself stupid all throughout the week. If you live in here this way, you ought to live this way out there. What's sad is we've taken apart the things that we're supposed to do as a Christian. Said, well, glory to God. And I've heard this so many times, it makes me want to throw up. I'm sick and tired of hearing people. Well, bless God, the Bible says you take a little wine for your stomach's sake. You dirty, rotten cheater. I'm getting so sick and tired of hearing people. I just have a drink now and it's just sociable. Hogwash. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't even talk to me about, well, just a little wine for my stomach's sake. I'm just a social drinker. No, you're a social drunkard. In the eyes of people, it shows you. In the eyes of people, they will say, well, that's a drinker. You ought not be a Christian. Even the world says drinking's wrong for Christians. Why in the world should we think it's so good? Well, I've got Scripture to back me up, brother. I love that. People talk to me all the time. Well, it's for my stomach's sake. No, you can take Pepto-Bismol for your stomach's sake. They didn't have Pepto-Bismol back then. I get sick and tired of hearing the patsies around. Well, Brother Dave, I think you're a little too strict. Maybe. See, amen from the crowd. Because of our looseness, our lights have dimmed. Because of our looseness, our lights have become where people look at them and say, well, it's no big deal being a light anymore. I would to God you'd be such a bright light for Jesus Christ that people couldn't stand to look at you. They would have to shield their eyes from your brightness because you are a light. Look at what it says. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Bethel Baptist Church, I ask you, would we be considered a city on a hill? Would we be considered folks that are standing out as a lighthouse for the shipwrecked lives that are out there in this world today? Would we be considered as somebody that's a beacon for Jesus Christ? Somebody that stands out and says, there is something better than what we're doing. There's something greater than where we're headed. The old paths are where we really should be. Are we on that hill today, or are we literally down in the valley trying our best to cover up what we are? Listen to me. You think this is you think that Brother Dave's being hard on you today, but you've got a responsibility put on you that you cannot shirk. You are the light of the world. This world is not going to come to know Jesus Christ without light. Not. And if we are that light, if we are the light, and we hide ourselves, what good are we? Why would the Lord keep us here if we're not a light for him? I'm not speaking just of soul winning. I'm not speaking just of that, although that's wonderful. I'm speaking of living your daily life, and I'm not talking lifestyle evangelism. Don't misread me. Nobody's going to get saved because you live a good life. None of us live a good enough life to get somebody saved. But when they look at you, what do they see? I told you the story over and over again. I was a young kid. I got saved at 11 years old. Most preachers will tell you, well, I lived like the devil till I got saved, and then my life's been great ever since. I got saved early and lived like the devil after. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, how are you a preacher? Let me explain something to you. There's a lot of preachers out there that live like the devil when they're preaching. And you got to come to grips with something, Christian. We are never going to get rid of the sin nature. But when I've got people coming to me saying, man, you need to get saved, something's wrong. When I've got people coming to me saying, man, I wish I could get you to come to my church. Well, I am saved. Well, you don't look like it. And you certainly don't act like it. Hey, listen. If I had to ask people that know you, what would they say? Would they say that, woo, you are salty? Would they say, man, you are a bright light for Jesus Christ? What would they say? Because I got to be honest with you. There's times when I feel like a little LED Christmas light. Just don't seem very bright. There's times when I feel like I'm a little bit lower than the salt you put on your sidewalk to melt the ice. There's times when I feel like, man, I just don't have it. But Jesus told me I am these things. You are these things. And what a great responsibility he's given you. Don't hide what you are. Don't hide the things that you are, Christian, because this life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. Well, during my vapor of a life, I want to be a bright vapor. During my vapor of life, I want to be a salty vapor. During my life, I want to make sure that people know who I am and know who I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep me. I want to let people know that Jesus Christ really is still the reason for this season. I want to convince people with my life, yes, I know he is my Savior and he's the only way to get to heaven. I want to convince people that it is wrong to do some of the things that we're doing in this country. And I'm a little sick and tired of people saying, it's not just wrong. It's all right to do these things because you just need to be a little bit more of a conformist. You need to be a little bit more of somebody that is more tolerant. Tolerancy is a convenient excuse for doing nothing. That's good. I don't write that down. I'll sign my own Bible after this Sunday school lesson, for goodness sake. Tolerance is a convenient excuse for being a coward. We know things are wrong. We don't talk about them. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of who you are? It's amazing. If somebody blasphemed your mom or your dad, you'd become violent. Don't you talk about my family. We get on each other all the time, cutting up. But you talk about him, and I'm in your earshot, you're going to get it from me. I can talk about him. He's my dad. You talk about him. Now, that's family. Why is it so different with Christ? He's our Heavenly Father, amen? What's amazing is this. We got no problem with him talking about our Savior like that. You go to a place, you hear somebody, God damn it, and that's on tape. You'll just sit there and say, last time I was at the basketball gym, I had a guy do that. Freddie's had a guy do that to him. Fred Belcher had a guy do that to him. Preacher had a guy do that. Let's pray. God, please damn this person. He has to be. We have no problem being tolerant of this insanity. You are salt, my friend. You are light, my friend. And I know that you may think that I'm being hard on you. I'm not being hard on you. I'm trying to exhort you to do right. Exhort you to understand that we serve the King. We serve the King. And there's going to be a day when this battle is over. Think about this for a minute. You'll like this. Do you know there's going to be a day when the last soul has been won? Think about that for a minute. There's going to be a day when, and I believe that that's what it's hinging on, preacher. I believe that there's a soul out there that's the last soul. And when that last soul has been won, we're not going to be here anymore. Why would we? It's got to hinge on that. The Lord's got to be keeping us here to win people to Him. That's it. That's the only thing I think of. So if He's keeping us here to preserve this earth like salt is, and I haven't even gotten to the preservative part of the salt, but that's why He's got us here. Listen, there's going to be a day when you're going to be dealing with somebody, and that's going to be the very last soul you ever win. If you come to grips with that, my friend, there's going to be a day when your job is over. And you get to go to heaven, and that's the basket of works you get to present to your Lord. It brings a whole new light to the thought of that parable that He speaks where some get 10 and some get 5 and some get 1. The guy that got 1 buried it, and the Lord was mad about that. The guy that got 10 didn't lose any. It's a matter of fact, he made 10 more. I wonder if he's looking at you and saying, I've given you some souls to win. Maybe you ought to win them. Think about that. You are salt and you are light. There's going to be a day when this battle's all over. There's going to be a day when this war is all over. And you're going to go to heaven and say, thank God I served Jesus Christ. You say, well, I haven't served Him in the past. Amen. Start now. Amen. Jesus is a Lord and a Savior that is merciful and long-suffering. Jump in now. Let's go out fighting. Amen. If we're going to go out, if we, the Christians of this world, if we are going to go out, let's go out fighting. If we're going to go out, let's go out salty. If we're going to go out, let's go out shining. If we're going to go out, let's go out in a blaze of glory for Jesus Christ. Because we are salt and we are light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for being such a wonderful God. You are amazing to me. It is amazing to me that You've preserved an inspired Word of God for us. You have preserved a thought process and a faith that we can earnestly contend for. Lord God, I wish we'd contend for it. Lord, help me to be a little bit more full of savor. Help me to be somebody that's a little more salty. Help me to be somebody that's a little brighter for You. Help me in this old world. This world that I don't believe You've given up on yet. Lord, I think America's in a bad way to go, but I don't believe You've given up on this land yet. And I believe there's still more that we can do. It's not time to throw up our hands in dismay. It's time to raise our hands to Almighty God and go out and work for Him. Lord, be with us. Be with us through this Christmas season. You truly are the reason that we celebrate this Christmas. You truly are the reason. I would to God we'd pull our heads out of this old world and realize what we're here for. Lord, what a great responsibility. Not only a responsibility, though, what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity to be talking about the Savior. Lord, help us. Be with these fine people. Anoint my pastor. Lord, preach through him today. Give him strength. Give him the words that he needs to say. And Lord, let the hearts be open. Let them be ready to receive a blessing today. Because Lord, this is where we get built up to go out and fight in that very battle I spoke of this morning. Lord, help us to find what we need and help us to go out ready to fight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.